Now a new poll from The Atlantic and the Public Religion Research Institute shows people of color are more likely to have trouble voting than their white counterparts. The difficulties come on a number of fronts, from not being able to get off work to vote to being told that they don't have the right identification. That's just one finding in a big study that finds a lot of divisions in attitudes and perceptions among people across the partisan landscape. Emma Green is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where she covers politics, policy, and religion. Emma, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, before, Emma, we dive into some of the particular findings of this study, this is a big study, and a general theme, and you wrote about this, is we seem to be living in two different Americas in a lot of ways. Talk about how that plays out.
So in our study, we asked a range of questions about how Americans see the big problems with our democracy. And what we found is that there are essentially two versions of the country. In one version, the country is headed in the totally wrong direction. Billionaires control politics, foreign governments meddle in elections. Not enough people are standing up and crying out for change. And then in the other America, everything is great. Things are looking up. There's a great president in the Oval Office. And some civic functions are still broken, especially when it comes to media bias and that sort of thing. But in general, things have a much more positive outlook. Those two different Americas don't necessarily talk to one another about basic facts of what's going on in our country. And that makes it really hard to imagine a future when the partisan divisions we're experiencing today are not a characteristic of what we're living in.
Yeah, I think a gut feeling for a lot of people, especially people who observe politics, is that, yeah, we do have this partisan divide. And at least in answers to the questions you all asked, that really does seem to be true.
Absolutely. So there were a few measures that showed that Democrats and Republicans really see things almost in a mirror opposite. So some of them were basic, you know, 91% of Democrats saying that America is on the wrong track, compared to 70% of Republicans who say that the country is going in the right direction. On the flip side, you have things like eligible voters being suppressed from going to the polls. This is something where Democrats really strongly believe that this is a problem, versus voter fraud, where Republicans are much more likely to think that that's the greater issue. So really, on a lot of measures, Democrats and Republicans seem to see the exact opposite reality.
I want to dig into that voter suppression idea. One part of this asked people if they believe they'd been subjected to various forms of voter suppression or had difficulties voting for one reason or another. And there the big difference wasn't necessarily along partisan lines. It was around racial and ethnic lines. Can you talk about that?
So we saw here that not only are there perception differences about the quality of American democracy, but clearly there are experiential differences as well. People who are white and people who are black or Hispanic seem to have vastly different experiences when it comes to trying to exercise the right to vote. Strong majorities of black and Hispanic respondents to our survey said that the suppression of eligible voters is a major problem in America, and only 27% of white respondents said the same. Now, what's interesting about this to me is that even though that's largely brought on by the proportion of Republican-identified voters who didn't think this is a big issue, less than half of white Democrats, 45%, said that voter suppression is a big issue. So clearly there's a difference between people who are white and people who are of color.
Talking to Emma Green from The Atlantic, talking about a big new survey that The Atlantic co-ran, looking at attitudes toward civic issues and democracy in America. Staying again with voting in America, one of the big issues you talked about. Wisconsin has a voter ID law. The National Commission for Voter Justice hosted a Wisconsin state hearing this last Saturday in Milwaukee. They gave members of the public a chance to express concerns. Here's Linnea Sundstrom sharing her experience as someone working on voter education and voter registration.
First thing I want to talk about is what I call the myth of the free voter ID. So when the lawsuits began gathering, those storm clouds were gathering, the legislature implemented a policy that voters could get a free ID for voting. What they didn't tell you is that you cannot hold that ID and a driver's license at the same time. And this is the number one issue that we see on the streets and talking to people about voting, because a lot of people cannot afford to turn in their out-of-state driver's license to get the free ID, which does not provide driving privileges. So if you have to pay $38 for a driver's license, $40 for an out-of-state birth certificate, et cetera, the free part doesn't apply to driver's licenses. You don't get any help if you need driving privileges.
Emma, it gets a little confusing here in Wisconsin, and your polls showed that people were, in many cases, confused over exactly who could vote, what they needed to vote, how to vote, where to vote.
Absolutely. So one of the big takeaways from our poll is that voters in general don't have a very good grasp on the laws of either their local governments and their states or just generally what's allowed and prohibited in America. But even more than that, our poll showed that people have vastly different experiences. When it comes to voter ID requirements, for example, we found that 9% of Black respondents and 9% of Hispanic respondents said that in the last election they were told they lacked the proper identification to vote. This is compared to just 3% of white people. So this suggests that voter ID requirements, confusing laws, other barriers to voting really do have a substantive effect on people's experiences when they're headed towards the ballot box.
And you found similar numbers with people not having, not knowing where to vote, right, or having conveniently located voting locations.
This was really remarkable. 15% of Black respondents, 14% of Hispanic respondents said they had trouble finding polling places on election day, and that's compared to just 5% of whites. So this is a real-life stat that underscores academic research that's been done, which suggests that when polling sites are frequently changed and the location is mixed up, that actually has this side effect of hurting minority voter turnout. And for people who are of color who are trying to find a place to vote, the fact that that experiential sort of element really feeds into their perception of our democracy suggests that this is, again, a big difference in how people are experiencing voting depending on their race.
I want to dig in now to another piece of this poll that you reported on. People's perceptions of some of the problems facing civics and democracy. You asked the questions, here's one of them, is the influence of wealthy individuals and corporations a major problem in America's electoral system? And you asked, is media bias against certain political candidates a major problem in America's electoral system? And this is one of those, I think, mirror image responses you talked about in these two questions.
Absolutely. 82% of self-identified Democrats said that the influence of wealthy individuals and corporations is a major problem, and that's compared to just 42% of Republicans. But then you flip that around into this mirror perception. 81% of Republicans said that media bias against certain political candidates is a major problem. That's only 41% of Democrats who said the same. So clearly there are stories that are being told on different sides of the aisle among these different groups about what the major problem is with our democracy, whose fault it is, and how potentially we should try to fix it.
You also saw a disconnect in some cases between stories that the media focuses on a lot and what people on either side of the political spectrum thought were important stories.
Absolutely. And this is something that I hear a lot in my reporting. I cover religion and politics here at The Atlantic. And often when I'm talking with people in conservative communities and especially conservative religious communities, there's a real perception that the mainstream media, which is highly concentrated in New York and Washington and cities like LA and San Francisco, reporters aren't really hooked into some of the major issues and questions that are motivating voters. So I do think that there's a big perception that the mainstream media just hasn't quite synced in and clicked with what the American public is really talking about.
We're talking to Emma Green, staff writer at The Atlantic, about a new survey looking at attitudes toward democracy, toward civics in the United States. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see this divided political landscape in your country, in your state, in your community, maybe even in your household? Do you feel like sometimes you're speaking a different language when you talk about important issues in the United States with someone from a different political perspective than your own? Do you see room to bring people together, opportunities to get people to sit together at the table and figure out what to agree to disagree on? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Emma Green is with us from The Atlantic. We're talking about a new poll from The Atlantic and the Public Religion Research Institute of finding Democrats and Republicans have really, really different views on some core issues in American government and democracy. Also found differences by race, with people perceiving that they'd been encountered different kinds of obstacles at the polls. Three times as many people of color, for example, had been challenged for the kind of ID they showed at a poll. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Why do you think we have such a strong partisan divide in the United States, as reflected in our politics, our media, and in this survey? Have you ever encountered trouble voting at your local polling station, maybe after you moved or maybe in a place you lived for a long time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll go to your calls now. Steve is with us in Sun Prairie. Steve, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, in my experience, and I only can speak for myself, but, you know, to keep our republic, one of the things we do have to do is respect each other. And one of the things I have noticed in my experience is that those on the left assign voters to those on the right. Normally, they are bigoted, they are racist, they're xenophobic, you name it. So they're basically saying, you are evil people. When you look at people on the right, who disagree with people on the left, most of their ideas are about, you know, they don't like their ideas. Their ideas are bad, or their ideas they consider inferior, but not them as people. That's a huge divide, and I just wonder in the polls if there's anything that the guests saw that kind of outlines how why people feel that way on the left versus the right.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. A lot there, Emma, and I don't know if the survey got into that level of nuance, but is there an idea that, hey, the other side is less civil than our side, or perception that that's the case?
This wasn't a question that we asked directly, but I will say that in my reporting, I see evidence of this dynamic often, and I think the big issue here is around different conceptualizations of identity. On the left, there are certain notions of identity that often have to do with race and sexuality and certain types of identification, whereas on the right, it often tends to be slightly more abstract or intellectualized, less of that identification with this notion that who you are should define your politics. I think that ultimately means that the two sides just aren't seeing the same kind of factors when they're looking at each other and trying to understand why somebody of the opposite persuasion would make their decisions.
Steve, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Dave in Chippewa Falls. Dave, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm just going to express to you the incident that I got with the moon. I tried to vote in the April election here. I had moved, and I had brought with me to the polls a letter from the Department of Revenue saying that my refund had come through, and a letter from the Department of Motor Vehicles that my registration was due, as well as with my ID from my old address. I was not allowed to vote. I was told, like, that if I had a concealed carry permit, that I then could vote. So I had to go to work, come home, and get my lease, and bring that back to the polls again late that night in order to vote. I mean, it's kind of crazy when there's two state agencies that recognize my home address, but they won't accept that, but they will accept the concealed carry permit.
Dave, thanks a lot for that call. And Emma, digging more into what the survey said about people being challenged at the polls over their eligibility to vote, talk a little more about that.
So we found this was a particularly strong factor when it came to racial divisions. 10% of black respondents and 11% of Hispanic respondents said that they had been incorrectly told that they weren't listed on voter rolls. And this had happened to roughly 5% of white respondents. So this suggests that, first of all, automatic voter purges have a huge effect on voters, and particularly they have some evidence of strong racial and ethnic bias. And the second factor here is it's one greater sign that confusion among voters and big bureaucratic changes, all of these different rules that govern our voting process, mean that there are fewer people who are able to actually cast a ballot, and some people wouldn't have that determination to go back at night and try to really prove that they're eligible to vote.
Yeah, and in Dave's case, this is maybe in that confusion point, whether it was Dave or the poll workers, people at some point in the process not being clear on how you establish your right to vote in a new address.
Absolutely. I think that that sense of confusion and just even crosstalk among the different municipal organizations, as he was indicating, really can create a barrier for people. And that barrier only gets higher for people who have less of an education, less of an understanding of their rights, perhaps don't have time to take off from work to be able to go to a polling place twice in one day. Those just mount and mount and mount.
Thanks a lot for that call, Dave. We'll go now to Jamie in Wisconsin Rapids. Jamie, hi.
Hi.
Hi. What did you want to bring up, Jamie?
Well, listening to your program, I don't know a lot about it, but I live in a town where there's not a great deal of diversity with different people and people of color, but I think it's so unfair, and I'm wondering, why do we have the right to challenge other people? And that kind of bothers me because people of color have the right to vote. And why are they challenged so much like that?
Jamie, thanks a lot for that call. And Emma, the answer to that probably varies from state to state and community to community. But do you have thoughts on how we vote and why people of color are more likely to have these kind of experiences?
This is a big question, and I think the simplest answer is history. We look back to the history of the United States and see that over time, time and time again, legislators have created roadblocks to people voting, and this has disproportionately been targeted at Black people and people of color. In particular, in recent years, we've seen rules that target recent immigrants, people who might be of Hispanic origin, and this connects with the long history from the Jim Crow era of discrimination against Black voters. So it's not that today's voter rules are necessarily racist explicitly or would say in their text that they're trying to eliminate Black voters or Hispanic voters, but what they do often do is structurally create these side effects that mean that Black and Hispanic voters are feeling more of the burden of this kind of discriminatory law. And whether or not that was intended by the legislators, it still has the same effect.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Emma Green from The Atlantic, talking about a new big survey looking at American attitudes toward democracy, civic issues, and voting. Emma, you report on religion, and you found some religious differences among people by denomination. What kind of things did you see people of different religious faiths differing on?
Well, we've certainly seen across reporting and across this survey that there are big perception differences among, for example, self-identified white evangelical Christians and, in contrast, people who are religiously unaffiliated. Even within white Christians, depending on whether you're Catholic or evangelical or mainline Protestant, there are pretty big perception differences about the state of our politics. One statistic in particular stood out to me, which is that 94% of self-identified white evangelical Protestants said that media bias is a major or minor problem in America's current electoral system, which basically means everyone in America who is a white evangelical Protestant believes that there's some sort of media bias. This is a really interesting fact, in part because white evangelical Protestants are so much a part of our conversation today about what's happening in the political sphere. So I was really struck by that, and I've really tried to take that to account in my reporting.
Let's go back to our callers now. Bill is on the line in Eau Claire. Bill, hi.
Hi, my name is Bill, and I work with a group here in Eau Claire called Chippewa Valley Vote. And we work closely with voters one-to-one to get them registered to vote. We've registered more than 400 voters this year. And we've worked with a lot of folks who hit barriers along that process, whether it's students who move frequently or homeless voters. And we're trying to launch an idea in Wisconsin to embrace automatic voter registration for a lot of the reasons that your guest has shared regarding voter suppression. And so we're asking candidates running for state assembly and state senate to endorse that idea, hoping that once they get to the legislature, we can see that happen in Wisconsin. 12 or 13 other states around the country have automatic voter registration, so that when someone does go to the DMV to renew their license or to the DNR to buy a fishing license, their voter registration files with the Elections Commission are automatically updated.
And Bill, I'm going to jump in because we're just about out of time. Emma, I don't have the page in front of me, but I think you asked people about their attitudes toward that sort of automatic voter registration.
Yeah, and one fact that really underscores what the caller is saying is that 1 in 10 blacks and Hispanics reported missing the registration deadline to vote in 2016 compared to just 3% of whites. So that sort of shows the opposite effect, which is that registration deadlines and really big barriers to getting registered really result in tangible reductions in who is voting and how many people can vote. So that's just sort of another fact to throw in there in this policy debate about whether automatic registration might be good for the state.
We'll leave it there for now. Emma, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Emma Green, staff writer at The Atlantic, where she covers politics, policy, and religion. She joined us to talk about a new poll by The Atlantic and the Public Religion Research Institute looking at attitudes toward a variety of issues, voting, democracy, civic engagement, and more in the United States.